Yeah, folks, I tell you, this drone technology is going to be next level. You wait till they weaponize those things, what they're going to be able to do with it. The amount of control they're going to have over society is just incomprehensible for most people, folks. Where we're going, it's just freaky shit. Freaky shit. Nice to be able to come and do a video for you again. Bit of water around, as you can see. It's been raining non-stop again for the last couple of weeks. And I've been sick as a dog. I actually got a pretty bad flu. Just 3.5 years in Mexico, and now I come here to Australia and it's nothing but rain and cold and damp and just constant water everywhere. And I was kind of bedridden for like 4 or 5 days there. And then the other day I was just there thinking, well, I wonder if the Tesla machine works for a cold. So I whacked the Tesla machine on me for 20, 40 minutes a day for 2 days, and I'm pretty good. So it seems to even work for the flu, folks, which is quite amazing. But I didn't even think of it. Like, I'm lying in bed there with the sniffles and headaches and don't want to get up, and I'm just thinking, I'm just bedridden, you know. So I just stayed there. It took me like 4 or 5 days before I actually thought, shit, I should jump back on the Tesla machine and see if it makes a difference. And it did. So yeah, I'm actually treating a few people with that, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But yeah, what a world we live in, folks. What a world we live in. It's just getting crazier and crazier by the minute. Trump's still continuing to do all of his stuff. He wants to reopen Alcatraz now. I mean, you know. Reopen Alcatraz. Yeah, great idea, Donald. But he's there for the people, of course. And it's just nuts. It's just nuts. I don't know how long this video will be today. Hopefully it will be a short one. I don't have a great deal to talk about. Hasn't been a great deal happening. I mean, there has, but there hasn't. Power outages everywhere. You saw the power outage in Spain. I think I talked about that on the last video. Another power outage in the London Underground the other day as well. Oh, the water everywhere, folks. It's just crazy. This is the walking path that I usually take. But it's all covered in water. Everything's covered in water. Just mud and shit everywhere. But, yeah, Trump's still just doing his Trump thing. He's just unbelievable. He's still talking about annexing Greenland. He's even talking about military options in annexing Greenland. We're just going to a military takeover of another country because we can, because we're America. It's just unbelievable, folks. Unbelievable. Gee, the creek's really up. So much water everywhere, folks. So much water. But yeah, it's good to be able to come and talk to you again. What do we got on the list? Yeah, it's all Trump. I mean, Trump's doing so much stuff. Annexing Greenland with military force, he's talking about. 100% tariff on foreign films as well. His tariff wars are continuing. He wants to put a 100% tariff on all foreign films. I guess he's trying to get some money back for Hollywood and get Hollywood happening again before it collapses. But just crazy. He's a nutcase, he really is. He's got an ego the size of Texas, and it's just, it's amazing to see him getting away with all this stuff. Look how green everything is, folks. It's beautiful, it's really beautiful. But yeah, he's just nuts. He's nuts. You know, the renaming of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, now he wants to rename the Persian Gulf to, what is it, the Arabian Gulf. What the fuck's it got to do with America, what the Persian Gulf is called? It's been the Persian Gulf for the last like 3,000 years. And he wants to call it the Arabian Gulf or the Gulf of Arabia or something like that. I mean, what the hell does America have to do with what things are called in the Middle East? It's just, it's remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. You know, the world police, we can do it. America, fuck yeah, coming again to save the motherfucking day. Yeah, America, fuck yeah, Yeah, that's just the way they look at things, I think, folks. You know, put their fingers in all pies. It's interesting when you look at the Middle East and all this conflict in Israel and all that sort of shit that's going on there. I mean, Israel puts itself right in the middle of the Middle East and starts inflicting itself on everybody and wonders why there's a problem. And they say, well, look at us, we're such a tiny little country. The Arabs have got all this land around us, you know, why are they harassing us? The point is, why are you even there to begin with? You don't have any claim to the land the way you claim you do because you're not the real Jews. Oh, it's just, the world's turned into a circus, folks, it really has. And it's interesting as well when you look at all of those Arab lands around the state of Israel and you look at the Arab lands that the United States has had military conflicts with, and this has all been since the formation of Israel in 1948. You know, so I think there's sort of something to that, and there's a reason why America has had all these military conflicts, because America is completely controlled by the state of Israel. That's what AIPAC is all about. That's why all of these American politicians are so heavily funded by Israel, because it's all about supporting the state of Israel. Yeah, America gives $10 million a day to Israel. And you wonder why America can't afford to have free schooling and free education and free medicals and all that sort of stuff. They just can't afford to, because they're giving $10 million a day to the state of Israel, which isn't doing anything for them at all except buying their politicians. It's interesting, Trump went to Qatar the other day, and Qatar have given him, or offered him, I think they're giving it to him, a $400 million plane to replace the 40-year-old Air Force One. And Israel's totally pissed off about it. Like, they're totally up in arms saying, this is a major bribe. You can't have Qatar bribing the President of the United States this way. And not to mention that they gave Donald Trump $230 million just recently. Miriam Adelson gave him $100 million for his presidential campaign. So that's $330 million they've given him. They're saying, we would never give a $400 million bribe to a president. Well, they gave him $330 million at least, which is public knowledge, not to mention all the money they've given to other politicians as well. So if you add it all together, it's well over $400 million they've used to bribe the entire US government. And they're complaining about this plane that Qatar wants to give him, which is a hell of a plane, actually, folks. Check this shit out. Not a bad looking aircraft, folks. Not a bad looking aircraft at all.
Trump is being accused of corruption by the press for ongoing talks to replace Air Force One with a $400 million luxury airliner gifted by Qatar royalty. Critics say the gift is unethical due to Trump family businesses in Qatar and unconstitutional. Speaking to the press from Washington, D.C. on Monday, Trump confirmed that he would be accepting the Boeing 747-8, saying the gift was a gesture of good faith from the nation.
I would never be one to turn down that kind of an offer. I mean, I could be a stupid person, say, no, we don't want a free, very expensive airplane.
Representatives from Qatar say a proposed deal on the jet would be temporary and that nothing has been finalized as the offer is under consideration by both nations' ministries of defense. Trump toured the very same jet at Palm Beach International Airport in February. If accepted, it will be the most valuable gift ever received by the U.S. government.
The question is, will he use it as Air Force One or will he just keep it and take it with him when he leaves? And it's not a bad looking plane. But yeah, it's just nuts, folks. Completely nuts. And now Israel's talking about it needs to annex all of Gaza. It's made the decision to annex all of Gaza Strip as if that wasn't the decision to begin with and that wasn't the plan to begin with, which of course it was. And it's stuff that we mentioned to you right at the beginning. I mentioned to you, I'm sure other people did as well, that this whole October 7th thing was about taking over Gaza. That's what it was about right from the very beginning. And now they're saying, well, we think we need to annex all of Gaza. And they're just refusing to stop bombarding the people there, folks. It's absolutely atrocious what's going on. Look how beautiful this place is, folks. I've got to admit, I mean, even the rain is kind of horrible. So much rain and so much weather and so much flooding and all the shit that's going on, but damn, the place does look good after a rain. It really does green up nicely. Excuse me, a bit of a cough still, as you can hear. But yeah, terrible stuff going on in Gaza, but I think the wheels are slowly falling off it. Even Trump said the other day that he wants to take steps to make sure military aid gets into the people in Gaza. Well, not military aid, but food aid, humanitarian aid gets into the people in Gaza. You know, a little bit too little, too late. But it would seem that he's concerned that the outcry just isn't stopping. I mean, there's been all sorts of stuff going on in the United States to say, you know, to try to paint any anti-genocide people as terrorist supporters. You know, of course, if you're protesting the genocide in Gaza, it means you're a Hamas supporter. Not that you're simply a humanitarian that doesn't like seeing children blown to bits. You're a Hamas supporter, and they've banned all sorts of protests against the genocide in Gaza, but people don't care. People are continuing to do it. People are going onto college campuses, getting themselves arrested and all sorts of stuff because it's the right thing to do. And they're not backing down. And the more Trump and the US government tries to outlaw any criticizing of genocide, the people are just going for it. They're just not stopping. There's just becoming more and more people that are doing it. So I think Trump is realizing that people aren't going to stop. It's not going to go away. This whole genocide is intolerable and people aren't just going to simply sit back and let it happen because you tell them it's a bad thing to be supporting Hamas, because they're not supporting Hamas. No one supports Hamas. People just don't support genocide. And all of the arguments are falling down. All the Israeli arguments are falling down. I mean, it's really actually quite refreshing to see the amount of propaganda there is on social media, like on X. Elon Levy and Dr. David Eli and all sorts of people, just so many people. Noah Berg or Noah Berg or whatever her freaking name is, some parasite. All these people, they post constantly, you know, multiple times a day to try to support the Israeli genocide and say Israel's just defending itself when it's doing nothing of the sort. Israel has a right to defend itself. Yes, well, so do the Palestinians. So does everybody. But people aren't backing down from it. And so I think Trump is really trying to distance himself from the genocide, because Trump is for himself. And Trump will be swayed by popular opinion. If it gets to the point where you've got massive amounts, like 60-70% of America supporting Palestine and saying this genocide needs to stop, you're going to find Trump bends a little bit to the will of the people, because Trump is really all about himself. He just wants to remain popular. He wants to retain his popularity. He wants to be seen as the people's president. And so he's sort of gone to visit Qatar and saying humanitarian aid needs to enter Gaza and all sorts of stuff like that. Meanwhile, you know, they're still outlawing the protests and they're still doing all sorts of stuff in the United States. I mean, he's not really flipping the coin and not really changing to the other side. But I think if people keep the pressure up, he may end up doing that. He may end up turning and flipping and saying, well, Israel has to stop. Of course, Israel will say this is anti-Semitic. Even saying that Israel needs to be held accountable for anything, of course, is anti-Semitic these days. Accusing Israel of war crimes, the war crimes it's actually obviously carrying out, is anti-Semitic. Everything's anti-Semitic. Any criticizing of Israel is anti-Semitic. All the comments I get banned and blocked on X, I've got like 92 emails now from X saying, you know, your comment has been deleted because it violates our hate speech regulations. Because any time you criticize Israel, apparently it's hate speech, folks, didn't you know? But, and I'm massively shadow banned on X as well. If you follow me on X, folks, I urge you to actually go to my page, physically go to my page and look at what I post, because you're not going to see it come up in your timeline. There's even been people commenting asking, Elon, why are you shadow banning all of Max Egan's comments from his followers? Like, my followers can't even see my comments unless they actually go to my page to see my comments. So yeah, but you know, I think Trump may end up backflipping a little bit because he needs to maintain his popularity, because Trump is all about Trump. It's not really about America, making America great again. He just wants to be remembered for being this wonderful guy. He even got a statue of his fake assassination put in his office, like a little one, little statuette of the Trump fake assassination, which is now apparently in the Oval Office. Look at this place, folks. Gotta love Australia, huh? Gotta love this place. But yeah, he's really still continuing to push the whole thing. But you know, like I said, with all of it that's happening, I mean, the real ID's coming in the United States, so you're going to have real ID, you're going to have to be able to prove yourself. This is a lot of the reason why this whole anti-migrant thing is coming about as well. You know, there's always deeper plays in the works. Trump is now offering illegal immigrants $1,000 to self-deport. We'll buy you a plane ticket, we'll give you $1,000 just to get out of the country. Of course, a lot of them will and a lot of them won't. But the fact that he's doing this and saying, well, you know, undocumented illegals are still running rampant through the country, so of course we're going to need real ID for everybody. You're going to need a real ID. I think you actually do need a real ID now, even to fly internally within the United States. If you're a US citizen, you can't board a flight from LA to New York or anything without a real ID. You've got to prove that you're a US citizen. Doesn't matter if you've got a birth certificate or you've got a passport or you've got a driver's license or any of that sort of stuff. You need one of their real ID cards. And of course, it's to protect us from the undocumented illegal immigrants. You know, no, it's to get to a situation where they can just say papers please to anybody on the street. You know, and we are suddenly living in a fascist world. Problem, reaction, solution, folks. That's how they do it all the time, these people. You can't trust a word they say. You can't trust a thing they do. None of it is to protect the people. It's all about giving the government more power. Everything the government does is about taking more rights from the people and giving more power to themselves. That's just what governments do, folks. That's just what governments do. And they're pushing it every way they can. Pushing it here in Australia too, the pandemic treaty is due to be signed on May 19th as well. The WHO pandemic treaty. You need to make a lot of noise about this if you're in Australia and other countries as well. I'm sure it's happening everywhere else around the world as well. We don't want to be involved in any pandemic treaty with the WHO. This is basically handing control of the government to a foreign body, the WHO, and they're going to be able to dictate whatever rules and regulations they want to keep people in track, in check, on track, and just going the way they want. They're going to be able to shut down the world, lock down the world, do anything they want under the guise of protecting you from a pandemic. Now, pandemics are quite commonplace now, of course, you know. We've never heard of any of these before. I'd always warned that there may be a pandemic, but they had to get us even used to the word because no one had ever heard the word. Well, it's not just an epidemic, it's a pandemic, which means it's worldwide. You know, they talked about this for years and years and sort of put that seed into the public consciousness for years so that they could then call a pandemic and have this whole COVID scam that they did, which has been proven to be all bullshit. There's massive lawsuits happening here in Australia to try to hold the government to account because it's been confirmed that none of the guidelines that were put in place, none of the lockdowns, none of the social distancing, none of this was ever based in any medical advice. It was simply all government overreach. But in the face of that, I mean, they're still putting out this pandemic treaty and doing everything they can. So I would expect them to try to push another pandemic on us soon, because everything's terrible now. I mean, you know, everything's a pandemic, everything's a disease. Measles outbreaks are now seen as an epidemic, a pandemic of measles. Measles being a common childhood disease that hardly ever kills anybody, that we all got when we were kids. Now they say there's an epidemic of measles. Well, yeah, there's always an epidemic of measles because kids get childhood diseases. That's the way their immune system builds. But I don't know, it's all an epidemic now. You can't have people getting sick in any way, shape or form, because if they do, well, it's because they're not up on their vaccines. And vaccines, of course, you know the story, folks. None of these vaccines help you. They all just compromise your immune system and turn you into a viable product, a good customer for Big Pharma. That's the way it works, folks. That's just the way it works. But yeah. But it is good anyway to see that Trump is now saying that humanitarian aid must go into Gaza. Like I said, a little bit too little too late, but it is good to see it happening. Good to see something being done about the situation there, because it is just horrendous, folks, absolutely horrendous. But even with that, I mean, even with the aid that Trump has said must go in there, Israel is saying, well, any aid that does go in there, we will control it. We'll control where it goes, because otherwise aid just goes to Hamas. They're just so full of shit. It's unbelievable. The damage they've done to that place, claiming self-defense and claiming that they're just targeting Hamas, is absolutely unbelievable. But it's served to wake a lot of the world up. There is blessing in disguise, because it has woken a lot of the world up to the fact that Israel is a rogue terrorist state that is in control of all of our governments, all our education, all of our media. I mean, it's just so much. Of course, Israel is now saying Qatar controls it all. You know, they're giving a $400 million plane to Trump, and Qatar controls all US politicians. It's just bullshit. Try to shift the blame away from themselves. And it's waking a lot of people up. In many ways, I mean, Bibi Netanyahu is single-handedly destroying the Zionist state, because so many people are getting wind of what the Zionist state is really about now. And you may wonder, you know, a lot of people get annoyed with me focusing so much on this. But I do it because Israel is the epicenter. Israel and the Gaza Strip is the epicenter of what is going on in the world and what controls the world and what is happening in our own countries. I've said so many times, Palestine, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. We need to deal with this situation. And it would seem that a lot of people are getting that now. And they're just simply not complying with what government says anymore. They don't care if they get told they can't protest. They're going to protest anyway. It gets to a point where you've got to understand, you know, governments aren't there to help you. Government is racketeering. It's a control system. That's all it's for. Biggest criminal enterprise on earth, folks, government. The hardship that people are suffering here, even where I'm at the park here, doing these walking talks, I've come here and I've noticed that there's this truck that's been parked here every single time that I come. The guy's got a dog and he's got all sorts of stuff and he's living here at the park, you know? Because there's so many homeless people here in Australia now. You go out at night, drive around the edges of the rivers and stuff, and you find vans parked all over the place with homeless people living in them, little tents and makeshift houses set up. Food prices going through the roof. Some people came to see me the other day. They said they've been monitoring their shopping bills, you know, their shopping list, their receipts that they get from the supermarket, and they buy virtually the same thing every week, and they watch it every week. The same stuff. The cost of it has gone up a few dollars every single week. So, yeah, people are noticing, folks. People are noticing. I had some wonderful people come over the other day, wanted to use the Tesla machine. The little baby, the cutest little girl, just such an angelic little child. And she's contracted encephalitis. I'm actually trying to get hold of Andy Kaufman. Andy, if you're watching this, could you please contact me? I've lost your contact on Skype because they've shut Skype down now. And I'm trying to get hold of Andy so he can maybe give me some advice on treatments for encephalitis. I want to get this little girl on the machine, but she's only 18 months old. And it's kind of hard to get her to sit still long enough to use the machine on her. But I think I'm going to have some positive results if I can. I mean, I've managed to cure Bell's palsy. I've managed to cure myocarditis. I've managed to cure all sorts of things in people with this machine. Even made huge improvements with this terrible flu that I've contracted, which is simply a detox. But I mean, the whole place where I'm staying, I mean, it's a beautiful place, but the whole area, it's full of mold and water and just dampness and, you know, trees falling down, trees that have been there. I was just talking to a guy in the park here before. He said he's lived on his property for years. He's had trees that have been there for 20 years, but all the roots are getting waterlogged and the trees are just falling over because there's nothing to hold them in the ground because the ground's so waterlogged. The water table is like up to, you know, half an inch below the surface of the ground. So it's just insane what's going on here, you know, all controlled. But yeah, beautiful little child came to see me the other day. Her parents brought this little child up and I'm trying to actually try to get her on the machine every day for a few weeks and see if I can heal her. I was actually going to leave Australia next week. I was going to fly out. But there's been so much going on here. I've been so sick with this flu and I'm helping so many people with this machine. Well, I cancelled my ticket and I'm going to leave it for a while and stay here and try to help the situation on the ground here a little bit. Also, there's a conference coming up in July as well. Jamie McIntyre is doing a conference, putting a conference together with a whole bunch of people. I think Stu Peters is actually going to come out for the conference as well. And so I figure, well, I may as well stay around for that. And that's going to be in mid-July. So I'll stay around for that and see what happens. And there's nowhere I really have to be until Serbia in September for Liber Pulco. So I figure maybe I'll stay around that long, yeah, and try to make a difference on the ground here. Because, I mean, there's not a lot of people doing it, folks. And I do love this country and I do love the people. And I am seeing a huge amount of awakening happening here, which is really good to see. So, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I don't ever really have any solid plans for anything that I do, so just sort of go with the flow and ride the wind and see where it takes me. So I think I'm going to stay here for a little while and do that. Isn't it beautiful, this place, folks? Isn't it beautiful? But I think that's one of the reasons. I mean, the fact that there's so many people waking up, I think that's one of the reasons they're pushing everything so hard the way they're doing. I mean, they tried to kickstart this war with India and Pakistan. I mean, India was kind of following Israel's rules and Israel's way. Israel went in and bombed Kashmir because it was pissed off with someone in Pakistan. Figure that out. Bombed a civilian building in Kashmir, and now they've launched all sorts of attacks against Pakistan. Pakistan sort of threatening to respond, blah, blah, blah. And that seems to have fizzled out. So, you know, that war doesn't seem to be like it's going to happen. Of course, Israel is pissed off about that. Israel thinks that India should go in and destroy the Pakistanis because the Pakistanis are mostly Muslim. Israel really wants to push this war of East against West. It wants the Christians and the Muslims to kill each other, Hindus and the Muslims to kill each other, just everybody kill each other. As long as you're not killing Jews, it's all good. Because they want the world for themselves. And it's always been their plan, folks, to kickstart this World War III. You look at, Adam Weishaupt? His whole concept of World War III, look at Theodore Herzl, the Zionist state, all this sort of shit. It's all connected, folks. It's all connected, and they want war. Israel thrives on war. While saying it doesn't want war, Israel wants peace. We just want to live here peacefully. That's why we moved into the center of the entire Arab world and set up a Zionist state and started attacking all of our neighbors in self-defense, because we want peace. Such a freaking joke, folks. Such an absolute freaking joke. But a lot of people, like I said, are waking up to it, and I think that's a good thing. It's a good thing that people are seeing the world for what it is and are starting to realize the power that they have themselves. Because none of this could happen, none of these criminal organizations that we call government could survive if people stopped complying with their wishes. If people suddenly realize the power that they've got and realize that, you know, governments are just populated by people, just like you, just like us. I mean, there's nothing special about these people. The only thing that makes them special is the fact that we give them so much attention. And we believe they're special when they're not. A bit warm in the sun there, folks. Good to see, actually. A bit bright in the sun, too. But, hey, that's the way it goes. But, what do I got on my list here, folks? I don't really have a lot on the list. Like I said, there hasn't been really a lot going on that isn't just simply more of the same. We are seeing a lot of vaccine damage coming to the fore now. Of course, people aren't calling it vaccine damage, but they are. They're reporting, you know, disturbing information. Doctors are disturbed at the rise of cancer in young people. It's like 14 new types of cancers being seen in young people. Gee, I wonder what could have caused that. Just the other day, there was a mother, 49-year-old mother, was diagnosed with cancer, and then a few weeks later, her 12-year-old daughter was diagnosed with cancer as well. I guarantee they're both jabbed, folks. Probably both had the COVID jab, and now they both have cancer. All the stuff we predicted was going to happen is happening. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's just coming to the foreground, folks, and people are all seeing it. People are seeing just what this has all been about, you know? People are seeing where it's going. People are seeing this new world order and all the stuff that we talked about just coming online right before their eyes. And they're sort of having to admit that perhaps the conspiracy theorists were right. Perhaps it wasn't a theory at all. Perhaps it was a reality. And of course it is a reality, folks. Everything we warn people about has all come to pass. And it's still happening. Still happening, folks. Again, I'm going to be posting this video probably tomorrow. I'm actually recording this on May 13th. And I've got people coming over today. I've got a lot of stuff going on in the next day or so. So I don't know how much editing I'm going to get done today. I don't know how long it's going to take me to get this video finished and published. But there's a chance it won't be published until tomorrow, which is May 14th, or possibly even the next day, which is May 15th. May 15th is a very significant day because May 15th is actually Al-Nakba. Nakba Day. It is the day of the great catastrophe. The day that Israel went into Palestine, or Jews went into Palestine in 1948, May 15th, 1948, and they expelled 700,000 Palestinians from their homes, gave them an hour to leave under pain of death, and kicked out 700,000 people and pushed them into the desert, made them refugees, put them into the refugee camp, which is Gaza Strip, and over into West Bank, and stole their homes, and they're continuing to do it. But very, very significant day, folks. Al-Nakba, May 15th. Remember that day. Every year, pay attention to that day, the day of the great catastrophe of the Palestinian people. And the whole concept that the Palestinian people deserve what they're getting because they're all Hamas, because they support Hamas. They all voted for Hamas. Like I've said before, folks, I went into Gaza in 2012. It's a world of children. The average age in Gaza is 17. And when you look at the figures, okay, Hamas won by a majority when they were put in power in, like, 2005. But the average age in Gaza is 17. In fact, 75% of the people in Gaza are aged 17 years old or younger. So you look at the figures, look at the stats. None of that 75% of people voted for Hamas because they weren't alive in 2005. They're only 17. They hadn't been born yet. And in Palestine, the women don't vote. So of the other 25%, of people in Gaza, only 12.5% of them are men, and Hamas won by like 52% majority, according to the figures. So it's about 6.5% of today's population that could even in any way remotely be accused of voting for Hamas. 6.5% of the population. The rest of them, I mean, the women, sure, they were there, but they didn't vote. But the children, 75% of the population, simply grew up into a war zone. They didn't have anything to do with Hamas taking power. So accusing everybody of being Hamas supporters and saying they voted them in is just complete bullshit, because they weren't born at the time. You know, Israel concocts all sorts of logical fallacies in order to support its cause and cry victim. Now, there was one rocket fired from by the Houthis the other day at Palestine, or at Israel, and they put out these alerts, you know, because it could land anywhere. So they put out alerts in, like, literally dozens and dozens of places to watch out for incoming rockets. And it was just one rocket, you know, and who knows what it even was. I mean, Israel will put out this many alerts for a Qassam rocket attack. And Qassam rockets are simply pipes powered by fertilizer. They don't explode. They'll hurt you if they land on your head, or come down, put a hole in the back window of your car, maybe put a hole in your roof. But they don't explode. They're not exploding warheads. And in response to these rocket attacks, Israel will drop 2,000-pound bombs on children. Now, use any excuse they can to bomb children and just kill as many people as they can and cry victim while they're doing it. So that's the situation. And like I said, people are waking up to this, folks. People are seeing what's really going on here. And the more brutal the genocide gets, the more people are speaking out about it. And for those people who wish that I would stop talking about Gaza, they don't realize that, like I said, this is the epicenter for everything that's happening in all of our countries. The reason the world is so messed up, the reason everybody is in so much debt, is because of this usurious monetary system which was put in place by the people who run Israel. If you didn't have to pay interest on loans, and you didn't have to pay for energy because all the free energy was stolen from us, we wouldn't be in any of this situation. And all of this is being run by the same people. These people who have stolen the land of Palestine and called it their own. You know, you want to heal the problems in your country, you want to heal inflation, heal the education system, heal the homeless situation, deal with the state of Israel, because that is where all of this is coming from. And if people can't see that, well, you know, it's just going to take people like me continuing to push the point. And hey, I'd love to be talking to you about other stuff. I'd love to be talking to you about Tartaria. I'd love to be talking to you about ancient history. And there's so many other things I would prefer to be talking about rather than constantly talking about the genocide of children. But while this genocide is ongoing, I have a moral responsibility to talk about this, because I know what the situation is and I know what the situation in Gaza is, and they don't have a voice. So who's going to be their voice? Who's going to speak out for these people, if not someone like me? And I would be in dereliction of my duty as a podcaster and as a human being if I didn't address this situation and address it as much as possible. And I don't care what people think about it. Honestly, I don't care. If you're sick of me talking about Gaza, I don't know, go change channels or something. But I'm not going to let this go by. I'm not going to come and talk about warm, fuzzy bunnies and love and light bullshit while there's a genocide going on and just pretend it's not happening, because it is happening and it does affect you. Now, anybody who's having hardship in their life, and you want to know where that hardship comes from and you want that hardship to go away, well, this is where it comes from, folks. It's coming from these same people who are doing this and have been doing this for so many years, who are in control of all of our countries via their control over all of our governments. And it's just an ongoing thing, and you cannot ignore it once you see what the situation is really about and you see what the remedy to this situation is. And the remedy is to deal with what's going on in Gaza, what's going on in Israel. That's the remedy. What can I say? That's the remedy, folks. You know, people look at all this stuff and they say, well, we need an uprising, we need a revolution, we need this, we need that. I've been trying to tell them for 20 years now that the only way through this is non-compliance. You know, this whole slavery system exists because people comply with the regulations that government gives them. And that's why things never change. Things just don't go away. Things remain the way they are because people just comply with their own slavery. Sorry, folks, I keep showing you this scenery because it's just so damn beautiful. Look at that little track over there. It's picturesque. It'd make a good painting, wouldn't it? So, yeah, I mean, I love this place. I really do. I really miss Australia when I'm away. I mean, I love Mexico. I love everywhere I go. I mean, there's beautiful places all around the world, but I don't know, maybe it's just something to do with me being born here. Something to do with the love that people have for their own country, where they grew up. But I don't know, I think this is just such a beautiful place. Such a beautiful area. I have a strong love for this country, folks. I really do. As you can tell, I mean, I talk about it all the time. I guess everybody does for their own home country. But yeah, you know, with all of this talk about Gaza and all the talk about Israel and all the stuff that I've been focused on for so long, I think it is having a positive effect. I think we are seeing some changes come about. The world is slowly getting the picture. And the more they try to outlaw this type of talk, and discourage this type of talk, the more people are speaking out about it, you know, thinking, you know, why can't I talk about this? If I see this, why can't I talk about that? You know, they get sort of scared, they might get in trouble, and it gets to the point where you say, well, I don't care if I get in trouble, because this needs to be talked about, this needs to be addressed. And it's never going to be addressed. We're just going to continue along the same path if people fail to acknowledge what's happening. You get to a point where you realize that if you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. And people don't really want to be part of the problem. They would prefer to be part of the solution. So they begin to see that there is a need to put some focus on this. And then when you really step back and look at things from a larger perspective, you see that it's all intertwined, it's all interconnected, and it always has been. And that's why we must continue to talk about this sort of stuff. It's making a difference, folks. It really is making a difference. People are getting it now. It's been worthwhile. Now, I wouldn't have spent the last 18 months talking about this if it wasn't important. I mean, it's sort of taken up most of my video time. There hasn't been a video that I've done since this genocide started where I haven't mentioned the genocide, because I can't not mention it. I can't just let this happen and be talking about other things. I mean, I'd feel guilty, like I was trying to shift people's focus away from the obvious. And it gets to a point where it is obvious, folks. It's obvious what's going on, and it's obvious who is in control of all this stuff. And whether you want to blame the Jesuits or anything like that, I mean, like I've said before, it's all connected. It's all the one thing, folks. It's all the one thing. And it's important that people see it. And I think, like I said, it's paid off. People are seeing it now. That's a good thing. But look, I think that's about all I got to say. Really like to try to keep this video short today. Hopefully I'll be able to bring you another one soon. Hopefully it won't go back to raining again. I mean, it's remarkable to see a fine day here, folks. It really is. It's just been 2 months, solid 2 months of rain. Dampness, just mold, just horrible, horrible weather. You know, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place. See, the guy I was talking to, there's a guy sitting over there on the table using his laptop. And he's even said to me, it's been raining like this for 3 years. It's just crazy, you know. It's just, anytime anybody sees a sunny day, they want to get out and enjoy it, because it's such a rare thing now. This is Australia, folks. It's, you know, it's supposed to be a sunburnt country that they call it, yeah? Not around here, folks. It's not sunburnt, it's kind of flooded and rain destroyed, waterlogged country is what it is. But it's still beautiful. These little passageways and stuff, it's just beautiful, folks. I love this place. But yeah, look, I have had a lot of people coming over and using the Tesla machine. I'm sorry to the hundreds of people whose emails I haven't answered in regard to the Tesla machine, because a lot of people really wanted to use it. I've used it on my family. My sister's actually buying one. She's going to buy one and give to her son, my nephew, because he's come and used it a couple of times and he's just had noticeable results. He's had a lot of back pain and stuff, and he said he put it on his back for like 10 minutes and it fixed all his back pain, which is incredible. So yeah, I mean, there is really good things happening with this machine, and I'm trying to get it out to as many people as I can, especially this little girl with encephalitis. I've encouraged her folks to actually come and see me every day if they can. I'm trying to contact Andrew Kaufman and ask him about encephalitis and possible treatments for it. She's such an angelic, beautiful little child. She came up to me the other day, like she was there, they brought her around, and she just walked up to me and she, a tiny little thing, she put her hand on my legs and she put her head on my leg and she just looked up at me. And I just fell in love with this child and thought, I have to help this child, you know. And there's so many people, you know, the human race is in such a state of desperation. So many people are in hardship. because of what the government's doing. They're in hardship because they can't afford to pay the bills, they can't afford to pay the rent. My nephew's in this place, the rent's going up to $1,200 a week in this freaking place that he's living in, which is a 40, 50 year old shitbox. $1,200 a week. I mean, this is insane, this amount of rent. You're just pushing people out onto the street, pushing people into situations of homelessness. And people are so beautiful and they're so desperate, and people are basically good. People don't want hardship, they don't want stress, they don't want confrontation. That's how these Jews are able to get away with all the stuff they do, because people don't really want to fight back, because they don't really want to hurt anybody. They don't want war, they don't want animosity. I mean, shit, we should all be picking up batons and going and beating the shit out of these people and throwing them off the planet. But nobody wants to do that, because human beings are basically good, which is how these Jews are able to get away with all this stuff, because they're not basically good, they're basically bad, most of them. Not all, but most of them. Certainly a large selection of people in Israel are the most heinous monsters you've ever seen, as is clearly evidenced by the situation in Gaza and the situation in West Bank. The other day they're just pulling people out of houses in West Bank and just lining them up on the streets and just abusing them for the sake of doing it. Horrendous stuff, folks. Horrendous stuff. I mean, and it gets to the point when even the most gentle, passive, kind person stands up and says, hey, look, enough is enough. I don't want to hurt you, but if you push me anymore, you're going to leave me with no other choice. And it really tears at my heartstrings seeing the state of hardship that so many people are in. You know, I'm kind of separated from all that because I've never been part of the system. I mean, it's a blessing, really, when I look at my life, the fact that I've spent most of my life as a musician living on the outside of society. I've never bought a home, I've never taken out a loan, or, you know, I don't have any debt. I'm like 67 years old and I don't have any debt at all. I just, you know, bounce along doing my own thing. Throw yourself to the wind and you can ride it. And I've been riding the wind since I left high school, really. I meet people now and they say, well, you kind of look different, but you're still exactly the same person that you were when you're in high school. And I've kind of been separated from it all. Not through any choice of my own, it's just the way I've lived my life. So I've never really had any attachment to this system. I've never really had any attachment to the trappings of society. I'm able to survive in most situations. I'm used to being on the road from being in bands. I mean, I lived in Mexico 3.5 years. I've been in Mexico. I never fully unpacked my suitcases the whole time I was there. I never hung any clothes up in a cupboard or anything like that. I just kind of lived out of my suitcases because I'm just used to traveling. That's just the way I'm used to living. So I'm kind of fortunate in that respect. As much as I'd like to have a place, like to be grounded, I kind of had that when I was living here. I was living in that shed that I was living in for 8 years, and that's the longest I've ever stayed anywhere in my whole life. And that place actually felt like home. But I get back here and I can't sort of live in that place now because it's been turned into a print shop. And there's no problem with that. I mean, the landlord's a lovely guy. All my stuff's still there. It's all safe. It's all good. But it kind of confirmed for me that I don't have any roots. I don't have any roots anywhere. So I'm kind of a free spirit in that respect. And it was kind of very grounding for me to come back and experience that I didn't have my little comfort zone to return to. Much as I would have liked to, in many ways I see not having that comfort zone as being something of a blessing, because it helps me confirm my stance, it helps me see what reality is really all about, and it helps me understand what my life has really been for. You know, I really think this is what I'm here to do. You know, I was always like a misfit, and I never fit in anywhere, and You know, I never really, I always wondered why I was so different from other people and why I couldn't sort of put out any roots and ground myself the way other people did. And now I see that all of those roots are being uprooted, you know. All people, all the grounding they had is being taken away from people. People are becoming homeless left, right and centre. People are just running out of finances, running out of funding, running out of any security they had, anything they thought was security. And in many ways, what they thought was a grounded reality they were in was just a fiction. And it can be taken away from them at any moment. And it is being taken away from so many people. And a lot of them are kind of lost. They're in a state of despair because they don't know how to deal with that. And I see now that I don't have to deal with that because I don't have to deal with that because I've never really had any roots. I've never really been grounded anywhere except for that one little brief occasion. And I kind of see it as a good thing. I kind of see it as a blessing now. That, you know, it doesn't matter where I live. I mean, I could live in a freaking storm drain. It wouldn't matter. Of course, I couldn't do it in the wet weather. But I mean, hey, I did live in a storm drain when I was young. When I was like 14, 15 years old, I was living in a storm drain. I used to go and sleep in the sand dunes when it rained. Couldn't live in the storm drain in wet weather. I'd sleep in the sand dunes. You know, you found out that you can go to the beach and you can dig a hole and you can sort of cover yourself in sand and the rain doesn't penetrate the sand. It only penetrates down for an inch or two. And so you can be under the sand and you're still dry and kept out of the rain. And that's the way I used to live when I was a kid. And all of this I see now as being something of a blessing for me. I was able to live in that transient lifestyle and never really get attached to anywhere. And I'm comfortable doing that. And all of the skills that I gained, you know, touring the world as a musician and as a sound engineer, even when I started doing video editing and stuff, I started to realize that all of the lingo that the computer world used was all stolen from the music industry. And because I knew how to plug in PA systems, like big mega PA systems, and I knew how to do all that stuff, it was really easy for me to switch that over to computer world. It was really easy for me to learn video editing programs and graphics programs and all that sort of stuff because they use the same lingo. And ultimately, it's all about signal flow. It's just that the signal you're dealing with in video editing is a picture, and in the music world, it's an audio signal. But it's the same thing. You kind of, when you're mixing front of house mixing, you know, for bands, you're kind of starting with this product, you're putting it through a whole different set of effects and, you know, organizing it all on a desk and balancing things out and creating an audio picture out of it. And it's the same with video editing. You're creating a video picture, but it's the same thing. You're starting with a basic product. You are channeling that product through a whole bunch of different effects and equalizers and things, and you sort of end up painting a video picture. It's the same sort of thing. Even with a painting, you know, you're starting with a blank canvas and you're adding different colors and different textures and different sorts of painting effects to end up with a proper picture. So it's kind of all the same thing. And everything in my life that I thought was unrelated turned out to all be interconnected and all give me the skills that I need to do exactly what I'm doing now. And I really feel this is my path. Since I stopped having any attachment to the outcome of anything and I just threw myself to the wind, my life has just unfolded the way it's supposed to unfold. I've been to all these places that I never ever would have expected I would go to. Traveled all around the world and done all sorts of stuff. And people say, how do you afford to do that? Well, actually, it's a lot cheaper to catch cheap flights and travel around the world and catch little boat rides and whatever and just couch surf your way around the world and live in cheap accommodation. It's a lot cheaper to do that than it is to just try to live a basic life here in Australia. I mean, if I had stayed in Australia for the last 3 to 4 years, I'd probably be broke and in the gutter and living in a homeless shelter by now. But I've managed to keep myself afloat by simply not having any stake in the outcome and simply moving around and just being who I am. And I've managed to experience all sorts of things that I never even believed or conceived of experiencing in my life. a bit of a nomad, I guess. But like I said, in many ways, that's been a blessing. I think it's important for people to see that, to stop believing they need to be grounded in some place and just have a look at the situation for what it is. I mean, all the hardship that people are in has all been legislated to exist. It's all been the result of governments who just get there and they're pompous morons on TV and stuff and wearing fancy suits and telling you that they're doing everything they can to improve their societies. Oh, we've got all these problems happening and we're trying to fix that. No, you are the ones who created the problems to begin with. And it's important that people see this. Government is racketeering in its purest form. That's what it is. These people don't care about you. Taxes on everything. Taxes on your income. Taxes on every item you buy from the store. If you manage to save any money, they tax your savings on money that's already been taxed. If your parents die, they tax the inheritance. It's insane the amount of taxes that they put on people, folks. But people just go along with it because they don't know any other way. They really believe the government is there to protect them and to help them. It's not. And in many ways, what's happening in Palestine and Gaza, it's helping people see that. Helping people see, well, you know, how is this happening if our governments are supposed to be protecting people? And it's something that I've said as well, you can use against your government. Because if your government tries to inflict itself on you, well, does your government support Israel? Because if they do, they're supporting war crimes. Even before this genocide, the mere existence of Gaza Strip is a war crime. Collective punishment. A breach of Article 33 of the Fourth Geneva Convention. If your government is supporting this war crime, the war crime that is the very existence of Gaza Strip, then how are they a valid government? Isn't it illegal to support war crimes in your country? It's illegal to support war crimes in any country. And yet, your government is supporting war crimes, and then they're inflicting legislation on you designed to impoverish you and make you homeless. Bringing in all these immigrants and migrants, all according to the Kalergi Plan, Jewish, 1923 Kalergi Plan, depopulate the European people by mass migration. They talk about it themselves. Europe has to go multicultural now. And Jews will be disliked for their role in this multiculturalism, but it must happen or Europe will not survive.
I think there's a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. But without that leading role and without that transformation, Europe will not survive.
What a moron that woman is. But people are seeing it now, folks. So in many ways, this is all a blessing. And we have, I think, reached what is almost a turning point. You know, the only way they're going to get away with what they're doing is to collapse the system and hope that people turn to government for solutions when it's the government themselves who are actually collapsing the system. Now, I think we've reached a turning point where people are seeing that now. People are realizing the government is not their friend. The government is not going to help them. The government created this situation to begin with because this is what the government wants. Even the fact that people are so dumbed down now from this education system. Well, the government pays for the education system. It's a government education system. And the government gets what the government pays for. If the government wanted smart people, it would have a proper education system. But it doesn't, so what does that tell you? Yeah, but like I said, folks, I think that's about all I have to say. So I'm going to leave it here for now, I think. I'll put out the same thank yous that I always put out. Most especially, thank you to the people on the front line. To the people out there speaking out about this stuff, making a noise, alerting people in their own community to what's going on. People who are leading by example in their own community. People that are helping others. People that can see the system for what it is and are speaking out against it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We need more people doing this. We need everybody doing this, folks. Now, I think a lot of people want to, they're just too scared to. They're too scared of the consequences. Well, think about the consequences of if you don't speak out about it. Because this isn't going to go away. None of this is going to go away until we take the situation in hand and deal with these criminals masquerading as politicians who are doing all this shit. So thank you to the people that are speaking out about that. You know, it really is making a difference, folks, and it's creating huge shockwaves around the world that are waking up people in droves. And even though you're seeing a lot of asleep people in major cities like New York or Paris or whatever, riots on the street, all sorts of shit like that. Did you see Jeff's video, Jeff Berwick's last video? He went for a holiday in Paris, took his daughter to Paris, and they ended up being a street riot right outside the front of their Airbnb. Jeff's daughter ended up getting pepper sprayed, all sorts of stuff like that, like crazy. Her first trip to Paris as a tourist, she gets caught up in a riot, a street riot, and ends up being pepper sprayed by the cops just for trying to escape. You can't make this shit up, folks. And they tell you Mexico is dangerous, you know. Unbelievable. But, yeah. People are waking up in droves. And a lot of it is due to people on the ground speaking out about all this shit and refusing to be silenced. So, yeah, thank you to all the people that are doing that. Thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails and so many positive messages on YouTube. And even thank you to the trolls for encouraging me to keep going and encouraging me to speak stronger. Because the fact that you have to come and troll my channel so much shows me that I'm making a difference. And I appreciate that encouragement, so thank you for that. And of course, thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. You people are great. You people have helped me keep on this path, and you've allowed me to stay on this path and just have no attachment to anything. And, you know, I always get just enough to be able to get by, which is great. A little bit more would be good, but, you know, would be nice to have financial security, but just enough to get by is really all I need. So thank you to the people who do make a contribution to the website, folks. I really, really appreciate it. And you have helped and done just as much as I have to get this word out, because I wouldn't have been able to do any of it, and I wouldn't be able to keep the message going if it wasn't for the people who contribute. So thank you from the bottom of my heart, folks, really. But yeah, I think that's all I have to say, folks. I don't know what my next move will be. Like I said, I've got to be in Europe in September, so I'll be doing that, but I don't know how long I'll be here. I don't know where I will be between now and then. I have no real plans at all. I'll just go with the flow and see where I end up. So thank you for supporting me in that. But yeah, that's about all I've got to say. I'm going to leave you now with a little video that was put out the other day by Roger Waters, saying what the world needs now is big kahunas. And he absolutely hit it out of the park with this video. And it is about the Palestine situation. And he absolutely nailed it, folks. And it's very encouraging to see people, you know, as powerful and as well known as Roger Waters speaking out about this situation. He has been an advocate for Palestine for a long time, but he absolutely nailed it with this video. So I'm going to leave you with that, and I will look forward to speaking to you again soon, folks. Please take very good care until then. Don't be too stressed about the situation. I mean, it's going to get worse yet, but in every cloud there is a silver lining, and I think we're heading rapidly towards that silver lining. So yeah, don't stress on it too much, folks. Just believe in yourself and know that with enough people and with enough strong hearts in the fight, we got this. So yeah, take care until we speak next. Hopefully it won't be too long. Hopefully we won't have another 2 weeks of rain, and there'll be another sunny day in a few days and I can put out another video. But if not, well, I'll put out one as soon as I can. I do get them out to you as much as possible, folks. I'm still unable to do any interviews, by the way, because the internet still isn't working properly where I'm living. But apparently that's going to change soon. Apparently, like, the guy that I'm living with has been onto the telco company, has been onto the ombudsman and all sorts of stuff, and they're actually threatening to fix his internet. So maybe I can actually even do some interviews soon. I will let you know about that. But I haven't been able to do any interviews at all. I've had so many requests, and I can't do any interviews because I just don't have the bandwidth for video streaming. But hopefully that will change soon, and you'll actually see a few interviews as well. But I'll leave it there for now, folks. Please take very good care until we speak next. Believe in yourself. Don't stress out too much on how ugly things are going to get. We're birthing a new world, folks, and birth is often a painful process. So you're just going to have to roll with it until then, and think of how great it's going to be once we get to the other side of this. But anyway, folks, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining on this report. Please take very good care until we speak next. In Lakesh.
May the 10th. Does anybody remember Bob, Carol, Ted and Alice, that movie? I think it was Dionne Warwick at the end of it singing, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." Yeah, you remember that? So do I. Well, what the world needs now is bigger cojones. I'm reading this now. What the world needs now is bigger cojones. Okay. On the 3rd of November 1950, the General Assembly passed Resolution 377, capital A, brackets 5, uniting for peace. I could quote it all, but it takes too long. Basically, it is a resolution that was passed because of a worry that the fact that the five permanent members of the Security Council all have the power to veto any Security Council resolution is a pain in the arse. So, Uniting for Peace says, if there's something really, really bad happening in the world that threatens world peace, and one of the permanent members is using its power of veto to stop the United Nations putting a stop to the really bad thing, the peoples of the United Nations have the power to circumvent the Security Council by evoking Uniting for Peace and convening an emergency session of the General Assembly to do something about the really, really bad thing. Okay. Well, something really, really bad is happening in the world. Since October 2023, the rogue state of Israel has been openly and blatantly committing ethnic cleansing and genocide in Gaza. And the United States of America has been using its power of veto to support that ethnic cleansing and genocide. Specifically, in response to this, on the 18th of April last year, when the USA vetoed a Security Council resolution to recommend full UN membership for the state of Palestine, it exactly created the scenario described in Uniting for Peace 377, capital A, brackets 5. Well, the General Assembly quite rightly responded. And on September the 18th last year, in an emergency session, the United Nations General Assembly overwhelmingly passed a resolution demanding an immediate end to Israel's illegal occupation of Palestine lands, with 124 nations voting in favor, 14 against, and 43 abstentions. That is a huge majority, by the way. This resolution, ES10/24, stemmed from an advisory opinion by the International Court of Justice that found Israel's occupation of Palestinian territory to be illegal. That should have been an end of it, but it wasn't. What has happened in response? Nothing. Not only has the rogue state of Israel ignored the General Assembly resolution ES1024 for the 7 months since it was adopted, but just a few weeks ago, Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump sat in the Oval Office in the White House in Washington, D.C., and in contravention of all existing international law, including the Geneva Conventions and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, they announced on live TV their intention to ethnically cleanse Gaza in order to build a seaside resort. A smug-looking Donald Trump, sitting alongside his guest, the accused war criminal Bibi Netanyahu, described Gaza as a nice piece of prime real estate. President Trump leaned forward in his chair and suggested a choice be offered to the people of Gaza. Either you pack your bags for the umpteenth time and voluntarily leave Gaza, or we will kill you. Your choice. He sort of shrugged his head on one side, making that little O shape with his lips. You know the one. Is this what passes for diplomacy these days? Acquiesce to our plans to steal your land and build a golf course, or we will kill you. As anyone who's bothered to study any of Palestine's history knows, yes, Piers, pay attention. This story did not start on the 7th of October 2023. No, it started long before that. Armed Zionist gangs, and I can name three of them, Irgun, Stern, Haganah, those gangs of terrorists, started campaigns of ethnic cleansing and murder in Palestine in the immediate wake of World War II. These campaigns, culminating in a series of massacres and the expulsion of 700,000 indigenous people, occasioned the violent creation of the Zionist State of Israel in May 1948. Harry Truman, the then President of the United States, not a great scholar, I'm told, was all for it. His personal endorsement of the new state was meteoric in the speed of its delivery. It did not go unnoticed at the time. And this is a story related, by the way, by JFK. And through Gore Vidal, it did not go unnoticed at the time that Harry Truman had recently received a $2 million campaign contribution from a wealthy Zionist. Does any of this sound familiar? So there it was, a fait accompli with endorsement of the USA, but the new state needed to keep its genocidal ambitions under its hat, a secret from the rest of the world. So as a matter of policy, right from the start, it lied through its teeth. We are going to be a democracy, it said. It boasted, in fact. We want to live in peace with all the local people. Of course, it was a bare-faced lie, a lie they've been repeating for 75 years. Generation after generation, until on the 7th of October 2023, in the refugee camp called Gaza, some of the victims of 75 years of ethnic cleansing and creeping genocide, in an act of armed resistance, broke down the prison walls and attacked some of the prison guards. That's what occupied people do. It is normal. It is inevitable. It is understandable. And it is also 100% legal. What is 100% illegal is the occupation of Palestinian land and laying siege and starving people. The occupying ethno-supremacist state of Israel and its main supporter, the United States of America, were not best pleased by this act of resistance. So they ripped off their democratic slash peacenik masks and embarked on the wholesale genocidal slaughter of the remaining captive inmates of Gaza. Men, women, children, infants, doctors, nurses, journalists, artists, everyone. We have all borne witness to the horror for the last year and a half. So, the disgusting charade with Donald Trump and Bibi Netanyahu in the Oval Office a few weeks back was an open, public, masks-off admission of the absolute total moral degradation of Western civilization. Now then, people will bring this up, so will I. Israeli civilians were killed during the prison break on October 7th. Some of them at that music festival that Bono's always going on about. Those deaths were a war crime. Hamas accepts that. Hamas has stated that it was not their intention to kill civilians. Israeli civilians were also killed by Israel on that day. The Hannibal Directive. Piers, did you read about that when you were looking up Zaka after I told you? Anyway, Israel on that day, that was a war crime too. We, the people, would like to see an independent inquiry into October the 7th to find out what really happened and who really killed who. Israel, of course, will not allow any such investigation. All right. Since then, Israel, with the absolute backing of the USA as usual and others, has been systematically pursuing its genocidal policy, murdering many tens of thousands of civilians in Gaza, particularly innocent children, often blowing them to bits with 2,000-pound bombs, the bits to be collected in plastic bags by relatives or aid workers. A war crime out of all proportion. Genocide. So what to do? Well, that depends on who you are. If you're already part of the global resistance to this disgusting charade, keep resisting. I just watched a movie on how Palestine Action in the UK has driven out Elbit Systems, an Israeli arms manufacturer. Good for you, Palestine Action. The rest of us must keep raising our voices. And we will. We must keep occupying campuses in every university in the country, all over. By the way, 2 days ago, they went back to Colombia and occupied the library, and 75 of them were arrested in their cafes and taken away by the fascist police. Well done, whoever that was in Colombia. We're with you. All over the world. Where was I? Particularly Germany and the UK. What is wrong with these countries? Criminalising peaceful protest against a genocide? What? Okay, back to Uniting for Peace. Excuse me. We must keep up our demands for adherence to international law. What Trump and Netanyahu and Starmer and Schultz and the rest are suggesting is not just illegal, it is criminally insane. We, in this resistance movement, have a moral obligation to keep raising our voices for as long as it takes. We must take to the streets in every city, every town, every village, in every land all over the world. We must reach out to thank the people of Yemen, the Houthis, for their heroic stand against this genocide. And over there, in the rogue state of Israel, on the other side of the illegal wall, we stand in solidarity with the resistance. People like our friends Gideon Levy and Diana Bhutto and Nurit Peled, or organisations like B'Tselem or Breaking the Silence. We salute you all. You give us hope. If, on the other hand, you are part of the majority in Israel, who apparently have been supporting the illegal occupation of Palestinian land all these years, all the ethnic cleansing and genocide, hang your head in shame. Beg humanity's forgiveness. Unlearn the lie that you are somehow better than the rest of us. You're not. Truth and reconciliation can be a great healer. But first, you need to wake up from your ethno-supremacist nightmare. For our part, we will not be silenced. This choir is a global choir, and we are not going anywhere. Our voices joined together in harmony can and will make a mighty roar. Donald Trump and Bibi Netanyahu are almost certainly lost causes, but out here in the streets, the rest of us are just getting started. And it is my belief, that this choir, armed as it is with love and truth, that this choir, with all our voices joined in harmony, can turn this ship around. Let's do it. United for peace and sanity, with love and truth in our hearts, let's turn this ship around.
Lima la, lima la 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 la, lima la. Lima la 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 la. Ahada salam, falima salam. نظرة تؤلم قلبي في المنام. كلام بعد كلام وعين تنزف ماء